Happy hump day, all you MAGA extremists out there. Hope you're all doing well. It's Wednesday. We're 33 days till the midterm elections, till we start the movement of saving America, taking back our country. Got to get our asses out to the polls and vote. There's so much mudslinging going on. Anyway, hope you're all doing well. Listen, do me a favor. If you're on Facebook, hit the share button. Just smash the share button. Share it. Share it to like-minded patriots, groups you might be in. Please, please. My Instagram was nuked last week. It was like 8,000 followers. You know, who knows if they'll come after the Facebook page. I'm hearing they're doing all kinds of purging on all these social media platforms on accounts that get extended reach, especially conservative-leaning, right-leaning accounts. So who knows? Maybe tomorrow my Facebook page will be gone. I don't think it will be, but you never know. So I hit the share button, and we're live on Facebook. We're live on Rumble. We're live on Getter. We're live on Cloud Hub, and we're live over on the Patriot Podcast Network on Roku TV. Well, they'll never be able to remove me because, I own that network, Patriot Podcast Network. If you have a Roku device or a Roku-compatible smart TV, download Patriot Podcast Network. It's free. You'll get about 25 different podcasts on there. There will be more coming. And if you're on Rumble, hit the subscribe button. I'm over at rumble.com/The Great Divide Podcast with Alan Jacoby. And follow me on Truth Social, The Great Divide Podcast. Instagram sucks, but I do have The Great Divide 1776 over there. And that's, that was my backup, but lost a lot of followers, a lot of good followers, a lot of engagement. But all my people on Facebook, you're always great with sharing, and the chats are open. It's interesting. We saw today the big news, right? The last 24 hours or so, the big Twitter deal with Elon Musk is going to come to fruition, and he's going to buy Twitter. Now, there's that whole lawsuit where they were suing him because he said he wasn't something with the terms of the sale, because he was accusing Twitter of the bots, when we know that there's a lot of bots on Twitter, a lot of fake accounts on Twitter, possibly even over 50%. Some are speculating 80%. I don't know if it's that many. And a lot of people are reporting today that they're losing a lot of followers. I think since last night that they were losing thousands of followers on Twitter. The first time that Elon Musk was in this deal to buy Twitter, it was interesting. I had lost a bunch of followers, and then my page seemed like the shadow ban was lifted and I was gaining a lot of followers. I didn't notice much of a difference this time. I'm not using Twitter that much. So I'm wondering what you all think. So to me, Elon Musk is not a hero. He's not the savior of social media. I do like his idea, buying the platform. You know, everyone has a voice, because I don't believe in censoring anybody. And that's even the most extreme progressive leftists. Let them on the platform. That's what it's there for. And, you know, they're always fun to make fun of and bust on anyway. So we know Elon Musk is not right wing. We know he's not left wing. He's somewhere in the middle. He kind of goes with the wind. But I do like his stance on everyone has a voice, and that's what it should be. So what's funny is the whole Twitter twits on the left are having complete meltdowns. Their brains are exploding. They don't know what to do with themselves. Mainstream media, oh my God. We're losing ground on social media. We can't control the narrative. We can't spin the stories. Everything as we know it is going to change, and the world, the Twitter world will be over. Twitterverse will be just defeated, and people will actually be allowed to speak their mind on there and not be shut up by sick, pink-haired leftist idiots. Is that going to be the case? I don't know, but they're all panicking about it. I sure hope so. I hope he opens up Twitter. I hope he reinstates everybody, Donald Trump, Alex Jones, Roger Stone, or everyone you can imagine that has been deleted. All the personal accounts out there that have been deleted. I know people out there who have shows like Steak for Breakfast Podcast, who I do my Saturday morning show now, by the way. Saturday morning, right here, 10 a.m. Eastern, live with my friends from Steak for Breakfast Podcast. We're calling it The Great Steak Breakfast every Saturday morning to bring you the most America First podcast in the country. We're going to give it to you about the politics, elections, polls, going into the midterms. We're getting great engagement on that. Again, every Saturday morning, 10 a.m., right here where you're watching right now. It's going to be live. We did two episodes already. Episode 3 is coming up this Saturday. The Great Steak Breakfast right here. So their Twitter page, The Steak for Breakfast, and they have a huge guest list on their show constantly. They're audio only, but they have Pete Navarro on, Liz Harrington, Cash Patel, Christina Bob, so many others, Devin Nunes, a lot of big, you know, Amanda Millis, people that previously worked in the Trump campaign that is still surrounding themselves with Donald Trump, working with him and for him down at Mar-a-Lago. So their Twitter page, The Steak for Breakfast, I think they're on their 8th one. And what happens with them is they have a big guest on from Trump world. And then that big personality from Trump world shares out the show and Twitter doesn't like it. And then after a while, when it gets too much traction, they delete their account completely. I mean, the censorship is real. We know that. It's not just, well, we're not speculating. It's not a conspiracy theory. Although most conspiracy theories now just end up being true anyway. I don't understand why, though, the left is having such a meltdown over this. If they, you know, they control mainstream media. We know that. If they were so worried about Twitter in the first place, I guess they never thought that, oh, Elon Musk would do something like this. And now Elon Musk, they're saying, is going to censor the left. Elon Musk is not going to censor the left at all. We know that at all. So you got to excuse me too, because my chats for some reason aren't where they're supposed to be and I didn't have time to fix it. So if you see me glancing over, I'm seeing what you people are looking at in the chats. Yeah, I think he will reinstate everybody, Sally. Absolutely. Yeah, so we got Sarasota and a couple people from Sarasota, Florida. I hope everything, I hope everybody down in Florida is doing a little bit better. We had the debacle. I didn't pull that clip. I have other videos I'm going to show later of some stuff with DeSantis, but Diane, you're in the house. Fargo, you're always around. Alabama. Diane, you like broken glass. You're everywhere. So Joe Biden takes the trip to Florida and has to, you know, confront DeSantis. They're there together. They're walking. Very awkward moment. Matter of fact, they're not even walking next to each other. Ron DeSantis is walking next to Jill Biden, you know, the wet nurse. And it's just this whole weird thing. And then, of course, he goes off the rails and he starts immediately getting behind a podium talking about, well, now there's no debate on climate change. This proves it. Florida proves it. This one hurricane that happened to be a massive hurricane that made landfall in the smack middle of hurricane season. It's not like there were 20 others before it, one hurricane, but because it was so big, oh, there's no debate about climate change anymore. Republicans are bad. Vote for Democrats so they can save the world and stop hurricanes, tornadoes, wildfires, and earthquakes. Stop it. And then he was, Joe Biden, he was caught on a hot mic, and this was the clip I didn't have time to pull, but it's everywhere. He was caught on a hot mic talking to some mayor down in Florida. I forget which mayor it was. And he didn't know his mic was on. And he was saying something like, oh, yeah, you know, we were raised the same and some other nonsense. And he goes, and nobody fucks with a Biden. What does that even mean? And he's wrong, by the way, because a bicycle fucked with a Biden. The stairs on Air Force One fucked with a Biden. COVID fucked with a Biden. His teleprompter, the teleprompter fucked with a Biden. So he's completely wrong on all fronts. So there's four things right there that fucked with a Biden. And he goes on a hot mic and says, no one fucks with a Biden. Yeah. Okay, Sleepy Joe, go change your diaper. I would love to have been, I haven't heard or if there was any alone moments with him and Ron DeSantis on how that went. Obviously they despise each other. We know that. But he, you know, goes and tries to show face there. And of course, he has to politicize everything and bring up the climate change again. There's no debate now about climate change because look at all of this devastation around me in a place that's prone to hurricanes. It's always going to get hurricanes. And no Democrat policy ever crafted and made into law will stop hurricanes from hitting Florida. Stop it. Stop it. Man, bear, pig is not real. And I am super, super serial. South Park. It's one of my favorite episodes. Okay. So now Elon Musk, the left is having this meltdown. Twitter. Oh my God, Twitterverse. It's not going to be the same. What's going on? They're all going to go after the left-leaning accounts and they're going to shadow ban and they're going to censor. Elon Musk is not going to do that. We know that. If they were so worried about this and they're so smart and effective in their evil ways, why wouldn't they get George Iflaps, George Soros, to put up his money to buy Twitter and control it, or buy another social media platform and control it? I mean, if they want to keep pushing the leftist narrative and the messaging on Twitter and social media, why isn't that old bag of skin and flaps buying social media platforms or starting social media platforms? He's involved in everything else from, you know, elections to buying district attorneys to buying secretaries of states and school board members and everything in between. And now he has organizations that are helping illegals evade deportation. And those organizations that he has financial interest with, oh, by the way, are getting paid by the federal government to do it. Such a scam. They're all criminals. They are complete criminals. They're disgusting. There's no plan to fix anything because the plan is to destroy everything. That is the plan of the left, George Soros, the Biden regime, AOC, all of these sick progressives. Take the Constitution and rip it up, burn it. That's what they want to do. We've gone 0 days without not being an embarrassment to the world. Every day we're at that 0 days. You know, 0 days since the last workplace accident. Yeah, we're 0 days since the last embarrassment because we're embarrassed every day on the world stage. Okay. Now, George Soros, maybe he should have bought Twitter. I mean, he's out there buying Latino radio stations to push the leftist messaging in order to hopefully keep Hispanics as Democrats. So why not buy Twitter? Why are they all having this meltdown over Elon Musk buying Twitter? He's not right wing. He's his own bird altogether. I think he kind of flies under the left and right wing bird. You know, he's just, is he going to clean house? There's, you know, he's probably going to get rid of that Indian guy, the CEO, which he's a piece of garbage anyway. Pretty much advocated against the First Amendment, said that the freedom of speech just, you know, it's shit. Already talking about employees revolting. You know, employees are having meltdowns. Oh my God, what are we going to do? They were having, I mean, how many memes and skits do we see based off truth? Because there was Twitter employees literally crying that, oh my God, Elon Musk is going to own Twitter. And apparently this is happening. This is going to be a done deal by Friday. They say that it was a reversal on his decision to go to trial against Twitter, which was happening in Delaware, I believe, to avoid buying the company because, one, he thought that, well, not we knew it was a fact, that they weren't truthful on their accounts, that most of their accounts were fake and the numbers were askew and there was nothing, no truth in what their real numbers of accounts were. And they said that it looks like he's going to buy Twitter at the original price of $54.20 a share, or whatever that was. It was like $44 billion or something like that. They were waiting for financing. But I think he said, you know, drop this lawsuit because now Twitter was suing him. And based off, again, he was suing Twitter also because he said Twitter misstated the number of bots on a service. And then Twitter was like, no, everything Musk is saying is he's like making assertions of fraud, which are untrue. They're incorrect. And they were based on a misunderstanding on the way the company accounts for bots and fake accounts on the platform. It's all nonsense. Bottom line is, I'll believe he'll own it when the deal is done. And oh my God, he owns Twitter. What's going to happen now? Is it going to be good for people like you and me? Maybe. Is he going to reinstate Donald Trump's account, and is Donald Trump going to use it? I don't know. I doubt it. I think he's you know, he's on that Truth Social train, which I enjoy Truth Social. I'm verified on Truth Social. People, it's very weird because there's no like algorithm. It's wide open. So if you post something, you know, just because people follow you, they don't, it's not like Facebook or anything where they'll see it in their feed. The feed is wide open. So if you post something and it just gets lost in all postings, you may not see it. It's very odd how it works. A lot of good people there. Some complete whack jobs there, like any other social media platform. I'm the Great Divide Podcast on Truth Social. Social media, we know, plays a vital role in everything. Everything in life. From entertainment to lifestyle, to connecting with family and friends, to using it as a tool for, you know, news media, podcasts, influencers, and everything else. I mean, the internet world is never ending. I mean, you could sell farts in a jar on the internet. It's like, what? People sell farts in a jar on the internet. People have OnlyFans, and some of these people, they're not even getting naked or doing real disgusting things, and they're making $30,000 a month, $50,000 a month, you know, for doing the weirdest things, maybe not in a sexual nature, and they're making all kinds of money. I don't know, maybe I was born in the wrong generation, but older people are doing it too. And of course, like for someone like you, you're here. If you're watching the show or you're listening to it, you're following my pages, you're following the social media accounts, you're following any other right-leaning social media people, big ones, small ones, medium-sized ones, so we can get our messaging across. And we know it's very difficult because of the shadow banning and the constant deplatforming and deleting of accounts. We're all victim of it. Whether you are an influencer or not an influencer, you could be a victim of it. I know so many people that just want to post and talk about things, and they constantly keep getting taken down. And unfortunately, it's going to keep happening. Maybe it won't happen so much on Twitter when Elon owns it. I did not see To the Tucker Show with Bob Alinsky, actually. I'm planning on checking that out. Bob Alinsky, when I saw it, I thought it was the old interview. I didn't realize he was back, but I do know he said something about, the FBI has not been in contact with him since before the 2020 election. Not surprising. We know the FBI is complicit in all kinds of corruption. And we knew that. Another I told you so. It's like we're in the midst of, you know, the longest, the weirdest, the saddest, the most excruciating I told you so in the history of the world. Everything we knew would happen during the Biden administration has happened. And we know that if we're not going to get up and save America and get to the polls in 33 days in the hopes that we are going to actually elect some real America First candidates who aren't full of shit and are going to do right by us so we can save this country together as we the people. I have my doubts on some of these people out there who claim to be conservatives, who claim to be America First patriots and whatnot. We can only be hopeful. And, you know, we can hope that we elect them and they're going to do the right thing. But again, and I've been saying this a lot, it doesn't stop with getting these people elected. Okay, we get them elected. Now we have to keep our foot on their necks to make sure that they're defending us, that they're serving us, because they're our employee. We're the employer, to make sure that they're defending our Constitution and that they're doing the right thing by we the people, by ensuring that our freedoms are intact and protected. That's their job. And limit the hell out of government. Speaking of another embarrassment, this whole clean energy and the solar panels and the all of this bullshit with, like, you're seeing more and more of these electric cars. Someone just bought a $115,000 electric Hummer. Just bought it. I don't know if he was from the showroom or whatever it was. He just bought it. He's driving, and the car just stops. It goes dead. And he was only into it for 250 miles. He only drove for 250 miles and it died, left him stranded. He couldn't charge it. It was nothing for him to do. I guess, what do you do with an electric car? You call roadside service and they come. Do they have like a rapid battery charger like this Tesla? Do they come out of these? Or, if, you know, they have electric pickup trucks now, which are failing miserably with towing. But what happens? Anybody with an electric car out there, like when you die out in the street, your car just goes, takes a shit because the battery died. Do you call up a roadside service and they come with a high speed battery to charge it and get you on your way to at least get you home? Like I don't know how that works. Anybody out there have an electric car that's that ever happened to? I think these electric cars are one of the biggest scams out there. Not half the people can't afford them. $60,000-$80,000 electric car for what? I will keep my gas truck. I'm in New York and now Hochul, which I'm hoping she loses to Lee Zeldin. She's going right in line with California about the she wants to ban gas, the sale of gas vehicles by 2035. Eat shit. No. On top of that, we're depleting our oil reserves. Joe Biden, like OPEC, which it's an oil cartel. That's what OPEC is. OPEC is not our friend. Literally, and I just posted about this earlier today. They considered cutting the oil production, cutting it a million barrels a day, right? So the Biden regime basically begged them. They launched this last ditch effort to say, basically just, you know, dissuade OPEC from cutting oil production. And OPEC's like, after he did that, OPEC decides to cut oil output by 2 million barrels per day. They were considering cutting oil production by 1 billion or a little more barrels a day. A million, not billion. And now they're cutting it by 2 million barrels a day. And they, since September, they were floating this idea because now they have to replenish the oil reserves. And that's why he wants them to up production and may have to pay a premium price of like $80 or more a barrel to replenish our oil reserves. When Donald Trump was replenishing our oil reserves, he was paying something like $24 or $25 a barrel. and that's, you know, of course, that's what they're going to do. They're going to squeeze us. They're going to squeeze us because they know we're an embarrassment. They know that we will print more money to do it. Literally right now, we have Bidenomics, right? Biden economics, Bidenomics. Our national debt has soared past $31 trillion for the first time. And all because of this borrowing addiction that the United States has, this printing of money, that the gross national debt now has passed $31 trillion with a T. $1 trillion for the first time. And this is all amid record inflation, rising interest rates, and obviously now the fear of a recession, which, you know, are we in a recession? That's, you know, part of me says we are, part of me says we're not. It's funny because I've been talking to people in the conservative realm of media and advertising and things like that. And what was explained to me the other day was, we'll call it the regular economy, and then we'll call the parallel economy the conservative economy, because people are working hard to build this conservative economy, meaning vote with your dollars, support conservative businesses, and, you know, conservative maybe financial institutions, whatever it is. And he had said to me that the conservative economy seems like it's booming. Like, if you're a conservative business, a lot of them are actually doing well because conservatives are pumping their money into those conservative businesses. When the regular economy, woke businesses, whatever it is, just run-of-the-mill businesses that are not open to, hey, we love America and everything else, are suffering because all the Democrats, they don't want to spend their money. They want all just handouts. They want everything for free. But the conservatives that want to spend their money, they're pumping their money into conservative-owned businesses. Not saying that they're not struggling completely, but the way and this individual has been tracking, because he's in that industry of helping conservative businesses thrive and market them and advertise for them and with them, where they're actually doing a lot better. Some of them are having some of their best months now because of this whole, well, the conservative movement, conservatives who are voting with their dollars, who are starting this parallel economy, who are continuing on this parallel conservative economy, are flooding these businesses with cash. And I love to see it. I love to see it. I don't like to see businesses fail regardless. I really don't. Regardless, even if they may be a liberal, I don't want to see their businesses fail. It's just, I'm a capitalist. I want everyone to be successful. But obviously, if they have a shitty business model and people don't want to buy their products because of the way maybe things that they stand for, I get it. I get it. I'm not for boycotting. It's not a thing that I support because it goes both ways. And some people disagree with me on that, and I get it. You know, it is what it is. But so on top of all that, we're going into the midterms. I have a few videos throughout I'm going to play, but you know, the gas prices. How many times were we told? I gotta take a drink. Hold on. I've literally been talking on the phone all day, and I'm dying over here. So, KJP, Karine Jean-Pierre, the black queer woman who's the press secretary, because she's a black queer woman, not because she's qualified, because she's a moron. Anyway, how many times were we told that the president has nothing to do with the gas prices when the Biden administration came into power and gas prices starting to steadily rise at ridiculous amounts? It happened in the Obama administration too. But then when they start seeing the prices drop, they want to take credit for it. Well, we've seen unbelievable decreases in gas prices. Yeah, but you can't take credit for that. But if you're telling us again that the president and his policies have nothing to do with gas prices, like they truly, again, think that we are all stupid people. They use us as their useful idiots. That's all we are to these people. Democrats do it. Republicans do it. So I think it was Peter Ducey was, of course, Peter Ducey from Fox was pressing KJP a little bit on gas prices. I have that video. I want you to check this out.
Loved ones. And so that's what you're going to see again tomorrow. And also you saw that yesterday in Puerto Rico.
Okay. Thanks, Karine. You've said the president was responsible for gas prices coming down. Is the president responsible for gas prices going up?
So it's a lot more nuance than that, right? Peter, you know this.
Is it?
There have been global challenges that we have all have dealt with. When I say all, meaning other countries as well, have dealt with since the pandemic. There's been pandemic and there's been Putin's war. And Putin's war. Has increase gas prices at the pump. We have seen that over the past several months. And what the president was able to do, he took some historic steps when you think about the Strategic Petroleum Reserve and making sure that we were able to do everything that we can to bring that cost down.
He shut down the pipeline for American families,
give them a little bit more of a breathing room. And we saw that. We saw that every day this summer, saving American families over $1 per gallon. And so that is what the president's going to continue to stay focused on. American consumers, how do we continue to keep prices down? That's why we did the Inflation Reduction Act. That's why we talk about the CHIPS Act.
That's helping.
All of these things are going to help Americans here in this country.
And there are.
Wow. That was all deflection, by the way. And you saw she said, oh, but you know, we're doing this and it's bringing down gas prices. And so the president does have direct impact on gas prices through policy and executive orders and everything else that he doesn't do or does do. Right. Or am I just a moron? It's okay. If I'm reading that wrong, you tell me I'm a moron. So I don't have words for the stupidity of these people. They're never going to tell the truth. There's no transparency. They're going to just spin. They're going to lie. And this is what it is. Yeah, it's true. That's the price you pay for stupid and gullible virtue signaling. And that's all it is. That's all it is. How much was gas a gallon by all of you under Donald J. Trump? I mean, I think after the midterms, we're really going to get hammered. I truly believe that. I truly believe we're going to get hammered with gas prices that maybe we've never seen before, maybe record highs. And talking about the strategic reserve, we shouldn't be using our strategic reserve to try to keep gas prices down. We should have the pipelines open. Nothing should have changed from when Donald Trump was president to Joe Biden president as far as our energy. We were energy independent. We were making money off of our energy supplies from other countries. Oh, Jack, I really hope that that was... I'm going to say that was really good sarcastic ball you're playing. That it was sarcastic. That's our president, and he's the smartest man in the White House ever. He does so many governing things, and president, all the presidenting he does is just unbelievable. He has united this nation. He is the great unifier, Joe Biden. Yes, he's definitely the most senile. And listen, the useful idiots, that's what they need. They need their useful idiots to skate by, promise the useful idiots just enough to get the votes. That's why George Soros is buying Latino radio stations to try to keep them as Democrats. And a lot of them are so pissed off that the left wants to call them Latinx. And we're not Latinx. We're Latino for men. We're Latina for women. Latinx is not a thing. It's offensive. Take your Latinx and shove it up your ass. And they're losing so many. I believe it was today a poll came out that Ron DeSantis is leading in double digits among the Hispanic community in Florida. And I hope that's I didn't look to see what the poll was. I hope that's the case. Ron DeSantis needs to win re-election. I'm really, really, really concerned about the election sites in Florida after this hurricane, and I'm still not hearing people talk about it the way I think they should be. I'm not hearing anybody talk about it. I'm hoping that Ron DeSantis is going to make sure that the polling places are easily accessible to voters in Florida after the devastation it has just seen after Hurricane Ian. It's very important. It's paramount because it's like a breeding ground for election irregularities, for rigging, lying, stealing, and all this other bullshit. So I really hope that if I was Ron DeSantis, I would literally have an election task force because of this natural disaster with the National Guard to ensure that every polling place and area that was affected is going to have a functioning polling place in a little more than a month, people. Yes, 33 days till midterms. Where are you going to be election night? Where are you going to be election night? I'm debating two things. I may actually do a live stream during election night and track the elections right here. Maybe just sit back, smoke a cigar and do that. Or I'm just going to sit on my couch and watch it. I'm strongly contemplating doing a live stream. Maybe I'll get someone to do a live stream with me as a guest or something. I'm thinking about doing that and just seeing. You can't say that I'm confident that we are going to flip houses. But I'm worried. I'm concerned. I'm concerned because of all the fuckery that has gone on and that continues to go on, and that we really, really need to put a cap on all that shit and make sure people are getting out to the polls. There's so many distractions around people. And you know, just it, November is coming. Winter is coming. Well, that's coming too. And gas and oil prices will probably be through the roof, and we'll all be freezing to death because we can't afford to heat our homes. And the Democrats are going to continue showing their true colors and how racist they are. You know, we need the illegal immigrants to pick the crops, like Nancy Pelosi says. I mean, why doesn't she just say put the blacks in the cotton fields again? I mean, that's what I got from it, what she said. Now I'm going to be called a racist. Someone's going to take that sound clip and call me a racist. No. What's great is, back to the gas. In Florida, you're saying, you probably saw this clip. A Florida Democrat, who happens to be black, proclaimed his love for Ron DeSantis and that he's going to be voting for him because, well, he was the one that got the gas, the fuel, to his area of Florida, and he was very happy about it. So I'm going to play that for you. I'm sure you probably have seen this, though.
That shit about DeSantis, but that gas is here in Arcadia.
Arcadia.
I don't know about the rest of y'all, but it's here in Arcadia. So y'all know who we vote for. I don't know about the rest of you motherfuckers, but I'm voting for DeSantis. And I'm a Democrat. So y'all can call it what the fuck y'all want.
We got children
up in here. I love that guy, and I'm a Democrat. I don't know what y'all motherfuckers doing. I'm voting for DeSantis, Arcadia, Florida. DeSantis got the gas there. Ron DeSantis is leading and governing and taking charge of a state during a natural disaster. He's doing a bang-up job. The response has been unbelievable. But, of course, they'll politicize that and want to shit all over him because he is, of course, America's governor, which they wanted Andrew Cuomo, to be America's governor. But he, you know, got caught killing all those grannies in the nursing homes with COVID. I will say, being a New Yorker, Kathy Hochul is worse than Andrew Cuomo. By far, she's worse. It's not even an argument at this point. And I had that prediction it was going to happen that way. So we got a lot. Listen, we got a lot of Democrats. A lot of Democrats that are leaning towards voting for Republican, especially in New York. I mean, Lee Zeldin is being endorsed by prominent Democrats. I'm talking to more and more Democrats saying we can't vote for Democrats this time around. We can't do it. Never voted for Democrats in our life. And we're voting for a Republican for governor in New York, which that if that's not telling you that the shit is deep, that we are just screwed right now, that I don't know what does. I don't know what would tell you that. And you know, again, it's I found this clip. I want to play it again. The Democrats are the ones that will say, because you're a Donald Trump supporter, you're a conservative, you're a racist, you're a white nationalist, and all this other shit. And they never have solid arguments on why. But their Democrats that they love so much, from Jill Biden to Joe Biden to Kamala Harris to Nancy Pelosi to all of them, they're all the biggest, excuse me, racists out there. And they don't even hide it. They don't care about black people. They don't care about Hispanic people. They want to segregate everybody. Everybody needs to get their own group. Again, with the Latinx thing, you know, this one and that one, whether it's gender or race. Oh, we're only going to make sure that the federal assistance is going to be doled out by equity standards. Well, what does that mean? So when you have a Hispanic and a white person and they both lost their house from Hurricane Ian, they're in the same boat. They've lost everything. They now have the same opportunity to get to the same outcome to rebuilding. Okay? So the minority should get the federal assistance because of their skin color. That's how Democrats think. They don't believe everybody should have They don't care about the opportunities. They just care about everyone having the same outcome. And if you're working and you have unbelievable opportunities and success, they don't care. They want the same outcome. They want what you have. And again, it just goes to show how truly racist Democrats are. And they show it every day, like right here.
The diversity of this community, as distinct as the Bogotas of the Bronx,
Bogotas,
and as unique as the breakfast tacos here in San Antonio.
You funny little breakfast tacos.
Why are you shipping these immigrants up north? We need them to pick the crops down here.
She wants to say
N-bomb. Not everybody in the community, in the Hispanic and the African-American community, particularly in rural areas that are distant and or inner city districts, know how to get online.
The real racist people. The real racists. That's what they are. That's what they are. All of them. Blacks and Hispanics don't know how to get online. The Bogotas of the Bronx. You mean bodegas? You stupid broad. All you little Hispanic breakfast tacos. I love tacos. Did you see Nancy Pelosi? Did you hear her? Immigrant. It's like she wanted to say N-bomb. She wanted to say the N-word. Get him in the cotton fields of Nancy Pelosi. Get me my $30 ice cream bars. I'm Nancy fucking Pelosi. And I'm a racist. Jesus. They don't hide it. It's sickening. It's sickening. It's too much at this point. Everybody should have been, every Hispanic should have been pissed off at that comment. From the Latinx bullshit to calling them breakfast tacos. You know, I worked in the Bronx on an ambulance at times, and I ate dinner at bodegas, and probably some of the best food I've ever eaten in my life is out of a bodega in the Bronx or Queens or Brooklyn or Harlem. And this idiot, the Bogotas, it just goes to show you how out of touch they are with the real minority community. Like, or just culture in these communities. The Bogotas. Like, you're a fucking moron, Jill. Oh. And they can't use the internet because they're so stupid and black and Spanish. They're so stupid they can't use the internet. These are the Democrats who exploit these people for their votes and actually... But what's crazy is the people that still fall for this shit. The people still fall for this shit. And then... Did you guys see Kanye West and Candace Owens with the shit that they've been kicking? All right, so... For the record, and you might have heard me talk about it before, I'm not a huge fan of Candace Owens. I'm not. I'm sorry. Don't mean to bust your bubble out there. I think she's a grifter. She doesn't really do much for the movement besides get behind a microphone and get paid no less than $30,000 for a speaking engagement, but usually up to $75,000 or more, and just has it in her contract that she won't take more than 100 pictures at these events with, you know, America-loving patriots. Meanwhile, she's not involved in any campaigns. She does a show on the Daily Wire. She sells a shit ton of merch, and she does speaking engagements. She goes to some fundraisers and talks, but she's not out there endorsing candidates. She's not out there working on fundraisers for America First candidates. And then you have people like Roger Stone who goes and speaks, and they're not even paying him to speak. He's endorsing these people because he truly wants to save America. And I know that for a fact because I'm friends with the guy. And we talk a lot about it. And there are some engagements he will get paid for, but nowhere near what Candace Owens demands. He's happy with getting his travel paid for. I mean, the guy's going still through 11 civil lawsuits from the federal government. He had like 7 or so dismissed, which, by the way, tomorrow's Thursday. I'll be on the Stone Zone with Roger Stone live on Lindell TV, frankspeech.com at 5:30 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. I'm always on with him Thursday. Sometimes I'm on for the full hour, 5 to 6. I think tomorrow I'm only on for the half. But that could change too. But tomorrow, 5:30 p.m. Eastern, I'll be on the Stone Zone tomorrow with the wise man, Roger Stone. But all right, I agree with her talking points and what she says. I'm just not a big fan of her because I just see him more as somewhat of a grifter. Like people are out there, Candace Owens should be vice president. Why? Why? I don't know if I'd want that. She talks a good game. She's a very good, eloquent speaker. She has great speaking points. But I don't see any action from Candace Owens. Maybe I'm missing it. Maybe I need to be educated on it. I'm open to that conversation. I'm just not a big fan. Anyway, I brought her up. Her and Kanye West. They caused a big stir. Let's see if I can get this up for you people. I'm sure you've already seen it, but look at this. These racist black people. This is just the epitome of race. Okay? So, no, okay. Here we go. So her and Kanye West, I don't even know what event this was. I don't know. They both decided to wear White Lives Matter. And this is something else that the left is going crazy over. Crazy. Why? Why? Because two black people, one who's a very successful musician, who maybe has some mental issues. I'm not a big Kanye West fan either. But he is good at calling out bullshit when he sees it. And I think sometimes he overplays the I'm crazy, look at me. White Lives Matter. Now, listen. Do I agree with the messaging? My honest opinion? I can either go with all lives matter or absolutely no lives matter. Because I really could care less. You're a respectable human. You're participating in society and you're not being a savage and hurting other people. I don't have a problem with you. I don't care the color of your skin. If you're a savage to society and you're hurting people, especially children, and you're going out of your way to just cause disruption and evil, well, one, I think you're an asshole and you should probably walk out in front of a bus. That's just me. It's cool. White Lives Matter. But why is this a problem that two black people are wearing this White Lives Matter shirt? This is what I don't get. The left is losing its mind. That this is all the gaslighting and the racial appropriation or whatever the hell terms they have for this. I'm sure they're calling them Uncle Toms and spooks and, you know, maybe they're the face of white supremacy now because white lives matter. I can't believe that they're saying that white lives don't matter. Only black lives matter. BLM, buy large mansions. Who else is getting indicted for exploiting and embezzling millions and millions of dollars from the Black Lives Matter global organization? This, two black people wearing White Lives Matter. That's okay. But then when the whole height of when the patron saint of fentanyl, George Floyd, died from an overdose or was resisting arrest. Did I say that? Oh, did I say that? Is someone going to get mad at me? Don't care. Unapologetic. But then you have, in the height of all that, when you had all of the Major League Baseball players and basketball players wearing Black Lives Matter shirts, these people were brave. These people were trailblazers. Here you have four white baseball players wearing Black Lives Matter t-shirts for a game. Because they were told to wear them. I'm sure if they were given a choice, they'd probably opt not to because they have to politicize everything. Everyone has to go woke. This is considered, you know, progressive, Black Lives Matter, white, get as many white famous people in these shirts as possible, saying it, giving their money, taking a knee to the largest terrorist organization in the country, Black Lives Matter, because that's what they are. Burn, loot, murder. That's what that really means, because that's what they did to cities all across this country, and they were awarded for it. They were praised for it by the mainstream media, fiery but mostly peaceful, CNN. People were giving awards. They were tearing down statues in their honor because they said so. And they took all of this money from all these corporations and all these rich white liberals. And they did nothing for the black community. Nothing. No libraries, no shelters, no community centers. Nothing for black homeless women, black battered women, black homeless children, black abused children, black hungry children. Nothing. They bought mansions in white neighborhoods. And they paid their family members. One guy was making $800,000 a year. Another guy, I mean, for nothing, 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 nothing. They've done nothing. No one wants to follow the money. But this is acceptable. Black Lives Matter t-shirts on white famous baseball players or celebrities or basketball players or football players, whatever the hell it is. But Kanye West and Candace Owens wear White Lives Matter shirts, and it's like, oh my God, between that and Elon Musk buying Twitter, I don't know how we're going to handle all of this extreme terrorism. We can't take it. It's just, our heads are going to explode. There's so much extremism going on. I can't do it. And this is what makes me hate people more and more every day. I agree. Yep. And that's how I feel. Renee, Candace, her points are accurate, always on point. She's a great debater. I would not want to debate Candace Owens. Don't get me wrong. She's the great debater. Her points are always accurate and on point. But the cause of it all is fame and fortune. She has made millions of dollars off the grift of the conservative movement, and she's not doing anything for it but grifting off of it. I sit here on a podcast and make no money doing it. You know, I'm an entrepreneur. I have businesses. I don't make money doing this show. I'm doing it because I want people to get off their ass and do something. I'm doing it because I want people to get involved in their communities and spread the message to get people out to vote, because it's more important than ever to do whatever we can to save our country, because one guy is not going to be able to save the country. I enjoy interacting with other patriots. That's why I run my social media. That's why I run a show. That's what I do this. This is like another full-time job for me. I could just be sitting on my couch, hanging out with my wife and my daughter and my dog, hanging out, watching TV, okay? Watching someone else talk shit and not doing anything. And I get involved in my community. I get involved in politics. I get involved in national politics and races and fundraising and campaigns and messaging and whatever I can. And this is my way of doing something. Trying to encourage people and talk to people about what's going on out there and say, hey, this is what we should be looking at. Hit the share button. God damn it. I'm here for you. I'm here for your entertainment. You know, I got to dig up all these memes to keep you all laughing all day long. I work hard at doing that. Share the video. Do me a favor. You guys are great. All right, I want to get back to Ron DeSantis. So a bunch of things. So when this whole hurricane happened, and again, if you ever have an opportunity to give back to the people in Florida to help them rebuild, make sure that you're donating to a proper organization and it's not a scam, because these natural disasters always bring out the scam artists. And also with that, since we're talking about donating, do not donate to the Republican National Party. Do not give money that Kevin McCarthy is going to put into PACs that are going to be working against America First candidate. Donate to the candidate you are supporting, whether they're local or out of state. Go to their website and donate to them. Don't donate to the National Republican Party, because they suck. They're criminals. They're corrupt. They're crooks. And they will do nefarious things with your money, like getting rhinos elected who hate America and hate the Constitution and just want to line their pockets. Yes, there's a lot of them out there. So, when this whole thing happened, Ron DeSantis said, you got to be careful with the looters out there. It's not going to be tolerated. We're a 2A state. As a matter of fact, I have that. And this was actually before the other one I'm going to play. But I got to give it to Ron DeSantis. He's got a set of balls on him. He speaks his mind. He's leading. He's not all just talk. There are people that don't like certain things about him. I do like him. I don't like everything he's done, but I do like him. I like how he's handling this. And he, you know, he's pro constitution. He's pro gun. And just, I believe he truly loves Florida and he loves his country. And I believe one day he will be president of the United States. And I hope that time is 2028. I will say that. So, here he is. Quick clip.
The other thing that we're concerned about, particularly in those areas that were really hard hit, is, you know, we want to make sure we're maintaining law and order. Don't even think about looting. Don't even think about taking advantage of people in this vulnerable situation. And so local law enforcement is involved in monitoring that. You know, I told Kevin if the state needs to help as well, because you know, you can have people, you know, bringing boats into some of these islands and trying to ransack people's homes. I can tell you, in the state of Florida, you never know what may be lurking behind somebody's home. And I would not want to chance that if I were you, given that we're a Second Amendment state.
Boom. Second Amendment state. Governor Ron DeSantis. Yeah. Not to mention, they got crocodiles or they got alligators swimming around in streets. They had sharks like swimming around. I think they had like a shark swimming around in the shopping mall trying to get up an escalator or something like that. Like, Florida's got all kinds of wildlife, and now that everything like was flooded, now that they're finding everything all over the street. Someone had said that they literally saw like a 5-foot, I don't know what kind of shark it was, swimming down a residential street because there was so much water, which is absolutely wild. But unfortunately, there is looting going on. It's going to come. No matter what you say and what you do and the messaging you put out, there's going to be piece of shit savages that are going to be looting. And it is happening in Florida. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So he had, unfortunately, not only is it looting, but it's looting from people that shouldn't even be here, that have come here illegally because, our border is wide open. It's not closed. It's not secure. It is wide open. And here's another clip of him talking about that.
And we've had 4 looters that were arrested, I guess, a couple days ago, and they need to be brought to justice, and we're not going to tolerate it. But, you know, 3 of the 4 are illegal aliens. And so these are people that are foreigners. They're illegally in our country. And not only that, they try to loot and ransack in the aftermath of a natural disaster. I mean, they should be prosecuted, but they need to be sent back to their home country. They should not be here at all.
Now, you heard what he said. The 4 people arrested, 3 of them were illegals. They shouldn't be here. They broke the law coming here. But that is not how this is going to be interpreted. This is going to be interpreted. Ron DeSantis is a Republican and he's racist and he's against immigration. He does not want immigrants here and what this whole country was based off of. Because they always throw that in their face when we talk about illegals. No, if they came here legally, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Then they were coming here with the legal process. But when they jump the border and they're here and then they see an opportunity of crime to make a quick buck and to survive because that's what they know, that's what they're going to do, then no, they shouldn't be here. But they will spin this into, he says those people shouldn't be here. He doesn't want these minorities in America. No, that's not true. We don't want illegal aliens in America who are feeding off of our economy and society and just making things stupid and disgusting. No, come here legally. There's a process. It exists. The border is not closed. Yeah, so listen. One other quick little story I want to end on. So, the New York Times last week ran an article. This reporter, Stuart Thompson, it was titled "How a Tiny Elections Company Became a Conspiracy Theory Target." So, they were already trying to downplay some suspicions around this election software company called Konec, and the company's CEO. Chinese, Eugene Yu, he got taken into custody basically under suspicion of sending data on American poll workers to communist China. Why would China, the CCP, China, I love how Donald Trump says it. Why would they want information on American poll workers? What would China do with that information? Intimidation, exploitation. It's really interesting. So on October 3rd, the New York Times, they published this, and it was called How a Tiny Elections Company Became a Conspiracy Theory Target, in which the author of the ridiculous article claim that election deniers, oh, that's you and me, we're election deniers because we're supposed to sit there and eat that 81 million people voted for this piece of shit that's in the White House. That election deniers were targeting Konec, which is a Michigan election software firm, and it only has 21 U.S. employees, and had developed a theory with threadbare evidence. Threadbare. I guess that means basically no evidence, that the company had ties to Chinese Communist Party and had given the Chinese government backdoor access to the personal data of around 2 million poll workers in the United States. Now, this is what the New York Times was writing about. The accusations were putting it out there, saying, hey, this is a conspiracy theory. Well, it was a conspiracy theory. How come the CEO got picked up into custody and is now under suspicion of doing just that, sending the data to like 2 million poll workers, American poll workers, to communist China? So it's interesting, New York Times. And then the very next day on October 4th, this was just the day after the New York Times had that article, they published another article titled Election Software Executive Arrested on Suspicion of Theft. And then this guy reported that this guy, CEO Eugene Yu, the CEO of Konec, had been arrested under suspicion of theft after U.S. user data was found stored in China. Now, why is U.S. user data or American poll watcher worker data stored in China? Oh, wow. That's exactly what the election deniers claimed and said. The election deniers, the conspiracy theorists. Yeah, it's very interesting. So what's going on with the election integrity and how the communist China is complicit in some of this or a lot of it? I don't know if all of it. They apparently in this case, the L.A. district attorney, George Soros, district attorney, George Gascon, he commented on the situation and he said data breaches are an ongoing threat to our digital way of life. When we entrust a company to hold our confidential data, they must be willing and able to protect our personal identifying information from theft. Otherwise, we are all victims. I have a partial solution for that when it comes to the elections. Take every election machine, take it out to an open field, and give every kid a baseball bat and let them do what they did to the printer or the computer in Office Space and have them smash every election machine to pieces and then set them on fire and go back to handwritten ballots or the old voting booths where you had the old lever and nothing was computerized. Because obviously computerized and electronic election machines are going to be the demise of our electoral process. That's my opinion. Do away with them. And even some sick criminal loving district attorney in Los Angeles, George Gascon, basically said the same thing, that it's a way of life and that if there's digital machines involved, there's going to be data breaches. Well, there shouldn't be data breaches when it comes to elections. But there shouldn't be data breaches when it comes to any type of election integrity or piece of equipment used for voting in any type of election, local, federal, big, or small. there was a spokesperson from this company, Konec, and the selection company, software company. The spokesperson said that the company was attempting to learn the details of what we believe to be Mr. Yu's wrongful detention, and that it stood by recent statements it made in a lawsuit defending its handling of user data. Oh, so there's a lawsuit going on about their use of data. Quite interesting. So, probably, you know, not the first, not the last. And yeah, it's crazy out there, people. Make sure you get out and vote. 33 days till the midterms. Make sure you get your people out. Get your neighborhood out. Get your church out. Get your business out. Get everybody out. Make sure you're talking to people. Are you going to vote? Can I give you a ride? Let's go together. Let's have a fucking vote party. We'll vote and party. We'll go vote, and then we'll go hit happy hour, and then we'll watch the results. Make it a party. Make it an outing. It's so important. Voting this year, we should be groups like we're going out trick-or-treating. Get together. Go and vote. Have an election tailgate party. Do something. Get involved. Get off your asses and vote. Don't give me this, well, I work two jobs. I have to hope I can get to the polls. You better, you know what? Take the loss of an hour's pay and go and vote. Because that loss of an hour's pay to go and vote, if everybody's doing that, we can hopefully overwhelm the system. Or you could tell me I'm crazy and that they're just going to rig and steal it and our votes don't matter. And then if that case, I'm going to tell you to shit in your hat and stop thinking that way and get out and overwhelm the system with the numbers. Get out and vote. Please share this video. Share, subscribe on Rumble, follow on YouTube, follow me over on Getter. On Getter, I'm Alan Jacoby, 1776. Also, don't forget, we have, if you're a cigar smoker or know someone that's a cigar smoker, head over to mypatriotcigars.com. Use promo code CIGAR15 for 15% off. There's a sample pack on the website now, so now you get one of each cigar. There are four cigars, so you can just try one of each. They're flying out the door. There's free shipping on orders, over $100. You get an e-gift card on all box sales of $10. You get a $10 e-gift card every time you buy a box of cigars for your next purchase. Free shipping over $100, 15% off site-wide. Use promo code CIGAR15 at checkout. The cigars are great. I made sure of it because I'm a huge cigar guy and I didn't want any crap. So also mypillow.com, go over there, save 66% off on amazing products. Use my promo code GREAT1776. And with that, everybody, I want to thank you all for tuning in as usual. I'll be back for Freedom Friday with James Curry, where, you know, he'll sit there and talk for 3 hours and I have to act like I'm entertained. No, I'm only kidding. I love James from We the People Radio. We'll be back. And then Saturday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, the Great Steak Breakfast right here again live, the most America First podcast in the country you will find on Saturday morning. Freedom Friday, 9 p.m. And I may be back 6:30 p.m. tomorrow Eastern on here. It depends. I got some things going on. So I may be popping in for a live. But until then, I'll talk to you all soon. Take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and most of all, God bless America. See you soon.